listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen, Director of the Respect Life Office for the Archdiocese of Chicago. We have an exciting show planned for you today, at least I hope so. In studio, I am joined by Ray Pingoy, my Youth Outreach Coordinator, and Peter Breen, my husband and Executive Director and Legal Counsel for the Thomas More Society Pro-Life Law Center, that is a national law center that is based here in Chicago. And we are also joined on the phone by John Paul Deddens, Executive Director of the Students for Life of Illinois, and they're based at U of I in Champaign-Urbana. Welcome, guys.
Thank you, Margie.
Good morning, everyone.
Glad to be here.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, this is going to be, it's all-male guest show. Oh my gosh, and then we have a guy in the control room, Brian Brock. He's doing everything. So we have an exciting show, and I'm so happy that you all could be here. But it is basically going to be about Speak Out Illinois. So we're going to talk about everything about it, why we're doing this, who is coming to speak. I've got two of the guests on that at that conference. The speakers at that conference will be here today. Well, that's John Paul is one of them, but he's here for other reasons too. just to have like this kind of like a roundtable discussion. That was my intention for this whole thing this morning. Our monthly radio show here is to talk about life issues and how we can build a culture of life, but how can we do it better? How can we be more effective at messaging, at getting more people involved, converting minds, hearts, to the, you know, to being pro-life. But before we get into that, and actually at the second half of the show, we'll be joined by Tom Sisalka as well, so we'll have another male on the show. And but he's a public relations guru, and he has his own firm, TCPR, and we'll be joined by him later on in the show. But before that, I'd like to talk about some of the latest legal news, pro-life legal news. And Peter, we were talking about this earlier, about the parental notice case, and also about the Rockford Abortion Clinic. And even if you can touch on the Catholic Charities case with adoption and foster care in Illinois.
Okay, thank you, Margie. Let's start with the Catholic Charities case. As you may have heard, the Catholic Charities were unfortunately unsuccessful in getting the temporary injunctive relief that we were seeking. Part of the problem was the state of Illinois had said they were going to take the kids away on November 30th, and the legal system was unable to keep that from happening. So we were really kind of up a creek there, and the governor and the attorney general's office were unwilling to hold on and let us prosecute our claims. So we had to, you know, to allow them. I mean, they had the ability to take the kids, and they did. So that case came to an end, unfortunately. But what do we get out of that? One, we have turned this into a national example, so that when in other parts of the country you try to see these measures that will impact our religious liberty as Catholics, now everyone knows around the country, hey, even if they put into the measure some sort of language that may at least ostensibly protect religious freedom, you can't trust the language.
And that's the civil unions or gay marriage legislation.
Right. But on anything, because at the federal level now, you've got abortion issues where the USCCB had a particular place where the Obama administration took funding away because we as the Catholic Church would not promote abortion to the folks that we were serving. And so this is not something that this is something that is going to continue to be an issue. But the example that we have been able to bring in Illinois is to teach the rest of the country, be very, very aware and don't let these bills get through your legislature. You know, this is something that you've got to jump on it. You've got to jump on it early. And now, again, people, our folks, are not going to be able – we're a little more skeptical, you know, and I know everybody is nowadays, but it's a matter of when the legislators tell you, oh, you're going to be protected, you're going to be fine, don't necessarily believe them. You want to be very, very careful with that, because we had a strong religious protection built into our civil union law here in Illinois. It was ignored by the governor and the attorney general. So that's
Catholics,
really the lesson.
Hey?
Well, and yes, both Catholics.
Who would, yeah.
Well, and that makes it more difficult as well. But so we can take that from this as well. The public view on this particular issue and on what we were doing, the way the media reported this issue was that the Catholic Church is trying to discriminate with state mm-hmm. dollars. That was how it started out. By the end of this, the media was much better in terms of they were much closer to our view. Our view as church was getting out there, and so there was some net positive to this. There was a big teaching moment here about why does the church believe what it believes, and really what are the practical impacts of all of the social engineering legislation that people are trying to put through. So that was so again, that's bad news, but it was also there is a silver lining there with the Catholic Charities. So instead of just being shut down and shut out of business, we actually got some positive out of it and raised these issues for the rest of the
country. I think that's part of that theme we're talking about today, about like how do we get our message out there, and having Tom later on to talk about PR and messaging the pro-life, the cultural issues, the moral issues, and then also with John Paul, trying to, how do we talk to young people, to college students, young adults, and get them on board and get them really to take up the baton, for pro-life. So, but also you said...
Okay, two other cases.
Two other cases, yeah.
Well, so the Illinois Supreme Court accepted the appeal to hear the appeal of the case involving the Parental Notice of Abortion Act of 1995. So this was passed in 95, signed in 95, but had been enjoined by a federal court and then by a state court. And so we are now finally coming to the end of this process, God willing. If you remember this, the law had been on hold from 1995 until 2006, when the Supreme Court of Illinois passed the rules that were necessary to allow the law to go into effect. And now, finally, we've been working through the courts. We've worked through the federal courts. We beat the ACLU there. Now we're in the state court. We won in the trial court. The appellate court reversed that, and in a way that really was not in favor of our position. And so it's a really positive sign that the Supreme Court decided to take the case. And they took both the main case, which the Attorney General of Illinois is prosecuting against the ACLU, which is kind of the two of them are usually on the same side. And they're actually,
against each other?
Well, you see, that's the thing. The Attorney General has a constitutional...
Smells fishy.
Well, the Attorney General has a constitutional duty to defend the law. But at the same time, politically, we know that she and the ACLU are on the same side. So we...
Sounds like a conflict.
Well, there were actually two appeals. There mm-hmm. was a second appeal that was brought by the Thomas More Society on behalf of two downstate state's attorneys, one Republican, one Democrat, who are both pro-life. And so they decided they wanted to get into the case to make sure that the pro-life viewpoint was heard by the court. And the Supreme Court didn't just accept the main appeal with the Attorney General and the ACLU. They accepted our appeal as well. So we're going to have that heard within the next that's going to be in briefing for the next few months. So that's really a very positive sign. And again, God willing, at some point in 2012, you're going to have parental notice in the state of Illinois, which is incredible.
Yeah.
Now, finally, Rockford. The abortion clinic in Rockford had been shut down by it's the Northern Illinois Women's Center. It had not been inspected by the state for 14 years.
Wow.
And so we finally,
years.
Yeah, we got it shut, and so the state finally shut it down after some very brave pro-life people came in and presented the evidence. They had these inspections that said that they weren't even sterilizing their instruments properly.
Oh my goodness!
We're talking
what a scummy. Well,
oh,
whatever.
It's a terrible
scumbag.
I mean, look,
sorry.
There were rats on site and all of this, but that finally the state paid attention to it, shut it down. And the next hearing, the public hearing on this, is January 4th. So as we put it in our release, it's a Christmas present to the pro-life community that there will not be any Christmas abortions going on in Rockford.
Oh,
thank goodness.
That's awesome.
I wonder how many other clinics out there that are uninspected, and oh man.
Well, there are regulations. There aren't any regulations, aren't really, any right? Regulations. I mean, the veterinarian clinics are more regulated than abortion clinics, and we're talking about those are animals, and versus human beings. So you wonder, there's an agenda here.
Right.
So, hey, we're going to head to a quick break. And when we return, we're just going to finish up some of these legal issues. We're going to then jump into the whole Speak Out Illinois conference. So stay tuned to more Life Talk.
Each night, thousands of families face homelessness in Chicago. Those families aren't just statistics. They're your neighbors, your friends. They could even be part of your own family.
I had lost my job, so I wasn't working, and I had run out of all my savings, so I ended up losing my apartment. And I went to stay with my sister, but she's got this small little itty-bitty condo, so we were all sleeping on the floor. So I started calling around for the housings and everything, and they told me to call Catholic Charities, and it just happened when I got through. Joanne answered the phone, and she goes, "You know, you got me just at the right time. We're actually doing interviews right now. You want to come in?" And she gave me the whole rundown of everything and how the program works and everything. She goes, "Is this something you can do?" And I looked at her and says, "You're offering me a roof over my head, something more than I've got right now, and I'm willing to do anything to keep that roof over my head."
Catholic Charities of Chicago is there to provide a helping hand to the homeless. Find out how to help us help the most needy. Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen. We were discussing some recent legal news affecting the pro-life movement and the church. And the other thing was that conscience protection in Obamacare. That's the other thing I wanted to talk about because, you know, we have, we just finished up talking about the attacks here on Catholic Charities and then also with, the health care bill and how there are some rules that they were writing into the law that would require under preventive services or health care for women some forms of birth control and sterilization. And it would include that Ella drug that's acts as a morning after pill type.
Right,
correct.
But it's not an immediate morning after pill. I think that's the one that is a week or two later, I believe.
Okay. The thing is it could cause an abortion is the key. So that we are looking at the church having to, in their healthcare plans, promote or provide these services.
And not just the church, but good Catholics who are employing, with small businesses or larger businesses.
Or nonprofits.
Right, or not-for-profits, a whole host of people. Because we focus on the church and the attacks directly on the church in terms of these conscience laws. But for every attack on the church, remember that there are hundreds of attacks on Catholic business people or Christian, just generally, Christian business people too.
Yeah, so what happened was that the church had called on the faithful to make comments because there was a comment period for the Health and Human Services Department of the federal government. And so to write Kathleen or, you know, Sibelius or, you know, email, and over 200,000 people, they said that this broke a record for public comment period. So looks like they might be softening their rules a little bit, and that the church might have a little bit more wiggle room, I guess. But it's still not, we're not satisfied. But so it gets you to the point of this whole Speak Out Illinois conference, and, you know, having, you know, John Paul, we've got you there on the phone. We got to bring you in and don't be shy. So I know you're not here to say, hey, I want to, you know, I've got a point, but definitely interject if, you know, when you have a thought. So don't feel bad.
Yeah, actually, one thing that Peter was talking about that I've really learned from being involved in the pro-life movement is with this legal stuff is that I used to always focus on, like, legislators, which they're important, you know, passing good laws and stuff like that. But there's another side that we often don't think about, which is the enforcement of the laws,
mm-hmm.
which is most of what Peter's talking about, that, you know, we can get good pro-life laws passed, but if we don't have the right people in place for enforcing those laws, then, you know, we're still going to have problems. So I think that's one thing, you know, whenever anybody is going to the ballot box, to, you know, research also any of those enforcement positions that might be on the docket there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that any of us were really thinking about that when we voted for governor last time around, for attorney general, for president of the United States, that not merely is this person going to be our leader, that they would be appointing all of the key people that will regulate all everything. I mean, that will execute the laws. And so if they decide not to execute a law or to execute it in a way that's anti-life or anti-family, yeah, we don't have anything we can do about it. It's really incredible.
We feel powerless. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the main thing is really we've got to get regular folks educated, inspired, and connect them with opportunities to be involved. And that's why I think Speak Out Illinois is great. And this is something that I've been a part of for the last, 10 years now, as part of the sponsorship. So I think there's like over 30, about 35 sponsoring organizations, including the Archdiocese of Chicago, Thomas More Society, you know, with Peter here. We've got Students for Life of Illinois, which John Paul on the phone here is a sponsor. And then we have the Rockford Diocese. There's a lot of, that's just like the Catholics. I mean, well, Students for Life isn't a Catholic organization. And Thomas More Society, technically, I mean, really isn't just a Catholic law firm. But
when you walk through the front door, you do see a fully habited nun. But still, we're.
Oh, that's Sister Christine. You got to love her. But it is also across denominational lines that we come together, Lutherans, Orthodox Christians, Evangelicals, Baptists, Black, White, Latino, all different types of people come together to plan one event. And that's something that I think Cardinal George, when he came in, really stressed that we need to do stuff with the other groups, the other denominations. And he really liked that Speak Out Illinois was around. And so he wants us to be very involved in it. But our next conference, our annual conference, is on January 28th at the Doubletree Hotel in Oakbrook, Illinois. Very centrally located, right, Ray?
Oh, yes, it is.
that Oakbrook. We tend to go there for everything, even though it's not even in the archdiocese. But it's very centrally located. We're going to have some great speakers. I'm excited about that. Peter here is going to be the MC again. This is the... Oh, did you just find out now? Is that news to you?
Surprise.
Surprise. Hey, don't you love that? It's like all in the family. Yeah. So is that how life works? You got to read your emails.
Sorry.
And then one of the breakout sessions will be done by John Paul Deddins. I think I mentioned that earlier. And then Tom Sisselka, who will be with us in a few minutes, he is also doing a breakout session. Abby Johnson, who wrote the book Unplanned, is the keynote speaker, and she's going to talk about her conversion story. You know, she used to manage a Planned Parenthood and was converted, basically, and is now pro-life and just became Catholic, I believe, last, or maybe it was over the summer she became Catholic. So it's really, that's an exciting thing. But hey, I've got to take another quick break. And when we get back, we're going to continue talking more about Speak Out Illinois and how this can be a great opportunity and a tool for evangelization. So stay tuned to more Life Talk.
Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Help unwrap the holiday spirit this season with Catholic Charities' annual Celebration of Giving. Catholic Charities invites you to help children and their families experience the joy and magic of the holiday spirit. Sponsor a family, donate a toy, or volunteer with us during the season. For more details, visit www.catholiccharities.net/celebration or call our hotline at 312-226-0650. That's 312-226-0650.
Welcome back to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen, and we have a quick announcement.
The Department of Stewardship and Development of the Archdiocese of Chicago is considering a campaign to address specific education priorities of our Catholic schools, religious education programs, and Mundelein Seminary. Our Stewardship and Development team is looking for your input to help guide this effort. You're asked to go to the Archdiocesan website, www.archchicago.org. That's www.archchicago.org. And you will find a link to an online survey. It won't take long to fill out this anonymous survey, and your opinion is very important and valued. Again, our website is www.archchicago.org. The link to the survey is prominently displayed on the homepage. Thank you for taking time to offer your opinions and to help guide our decisions on a proposed campaign for Catholic education.
All right. Thank you, Peter. Wow. It was very well read.
That was great. Yeah. I wish I had a deep voice like that and I can make announcements like that, huh? Instead of have a squeaky voice.
Squeaky voice.
Hello, my name is Ray.
Sorry.
Anyway.
Well, hey,
we're having fun.
John Paul, hopefully, yes. Okay, maybe you can bring us back to some seriousness here. I'm kidding. This is a lot of fun. I like hanging out with the guys. It's good times. So now, I want to first, can you share with us, I remember, I think the first time I met you was when Sister Alicia, who wasn't a sister back then, worked for the Archdiocese in the Respect Life office as our young adult outreach coordinator, and she brought you up to meet me, and I think you met Peter for the first time. Maybe you met him before. to talk about doing some type of an organization to do outreach on college campuses. And that was, you know, we were like sitting there brainstorming over, you know, a pint or whatever it was. And, you know, that's how Catholics do things. You know, it's like we have a glass of wine or, you know, a glass of beer, a pint of beer, and we come up with all the solutions for to fix all the ills in our world, right? But so what got you involved in pro-life?
Well, really, it wasn't until I got to college that I even thought about the issue of abortion at all. You know, I mean, I came from a big Catholic family, but we didn't really talk about it. So I kind of knew what it was in a vague way, but it wasn't until I got to college and started confronting it there. You know, people talked about it more at college, and really researching it on my own, that I learned a lot about the issues, and eventually was invited to start a pro-life group by a friend of mine, and together we started a campus group at the University of Illinois in Champaign.
Mm-hmm.
And through that experience, I thought, you know, I should really, you know, share the ideas and the methods that we're using here at U of I with other campuses. And I should, you know, go talk to them and find out what they're doing and learn from them. So this idea of a statewide pro-life network of college campuses came to be. And from that, I started contacting all the campuses that I could find on the internet and all the people involved with campuses, and Sister Alicia, basically everybody in Chicago that I contacted referred me to her. So I knew she must be the one to talk to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she was the mover and the shaker in terms of college outreach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so I got hooked up with her and kind of pitched my idea to her, and, you know, I think through Providence, she had a similar idea and a similar mission through your office at the Archdiocese, with the campuses in the Archdiocese. And so we kind of joined forces, and she brought me to the Breens, you and Peter. And, yeah, that's kind of how I got started officially.
Well, and John Paul, it's my understanding that your organization that you built from nothing, essentially, and now have turned it into a powerhouse here in Illinois, that is the only statewide youth and student-based pro-life group that is really that has significant fundraising, significant support. What have you done to get, I mean, how did you do that? Because you're the only one that's made it work so far, and this is a wonderful model that I know that we're trying to export. But how did you, what was the key to your success?
Yeah, well, it really comes down to commitment. You know, I was very driven and very, I really believed in, and still do believe in, the need to reach college students, you know. I think that, you know, we often talk about the politics or, you know, Planned Parenthood and the power that they have, but I think the real central means for spreading the culture of death is not the Supreme Court, it's not the politics or even the abortion providers. It's actually the college campuses, because the abortion providers are entrenched there. And so many people go to college, and they get a very one-sided message. So, really, I think it came down to really believing in that and knowing that is one of the most important things and most effective things that we can do. And so then I, you know, just remained committed. And I know a lot of people in other states who I've tried to help along a little bit and kind of export this model. And really, it comes down to commitment. You know, they're committed to the pro-life idea, and many of them are working in the pro-life movement in other places. But, you know, it's just a commitment to that idea that I think pulled us through. And, you know, they're also, I've received a lot of amazing help from pro-lifers in Illinois. The Archdiocese has, you know, we wouldn't have been able to get to this point without the support of the Archdiocese, without your support, Peter and Margie, and also, you know, other pro-life groups in the state have really helped us a lot.
Sure.
Like Pro-Life Action League and other local groups, so, yeah.
And you were telling me on the phone yesterday when we were chatting about stuff that originally you were doing all these different activism days, and you were being spread really thin because, you know, you only have so many people that work with you, and you can't, you know, clone yourself, right? So, you know, you had to do it smarter, more effective. And so you're trying to raise up leaders and strengthen these groups so they can do activism days, right?
Yeah, exactly. So the need for college campuses is huge. It's mind-boggling. I think, Margie, you were telling me just in the Loop in Chicago there are 50,000 college students.
Yeah, plus, Loops, it means all the way from, like, Loyola at the Water Tower campus all the way South Loop, West Loop, you know, UIC. There's a lot of schools, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of college students.
Yeah, so that's just Chicago. Then we have, U of I in Champaign, which has about 40,000 students, and ISU and some other bigger state schools that are downstate that have, you know, tens of thousands of students. And when you start to think about that, you start to see the great need. And even though Students for Life of Illinois is the biggest and the best statewide pro-life college organization, we still are, you know, far from reaching everyone or reaching enough people, you know. So we're really kind of just getting started.
Yeah, I mean, you're in the beginning stages. Well, we're going to head to a quick break, and when we return, we'll be discussing more of Speak Out Illinois and with John Paul Deddins and Students for Life of Illinois, all these long names, and Tom Sisalka will be joining us as well. So we're really going to shake things up here. So stay tuned to more Life Talk.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 AM, the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen, and I'm joined in studio with Peter Breen, Executive Director of the Thomas More Society, and my husband, and Ray Pingoy, our Youth Outreach Coordinator for the Archdiocese Respect Life Office. And on the phone, we have John Paul Deddins of Students for Life of Illinois. And now we are welcoming Tom Sisalka of TCPR. Welcome, Tom.
Thank you, Margie.
Oh, you're welcome. So I was saying earlier, you know, it's like I got this round table of all guys. You know, I'm hanging out with the boys. So it's a lot of fun, and I'm glad you could join us because, you know, we're talking about how do we really it is getting down to the message, and you being a PR expert. And I know you do a lot of good work for Peter's firm, the Thomas More Society, and I see it, you know, I witness it, and how much media he gets. It's unbelievable. So thank you.
Oh, well, it's my pleasure.
Yeah, so you must be doing something right. and you must know, that's why we picked you for Speak Out Illinois to be one of the breakout sessions. What do we do here? I mean, we've got John Paul, on the phone with Students for Life of Illinois, with college students, trying to get college students to become more pro-life and then to be active in the pro-life movement. What do we do now with, adults, but just with the message of pro-life? What's the best way to, talk about this with folks, even one-on-one and in groups?
Yeah, well, there's so many ways. You know, it's interesting, just kind of as a transition from John Paul and students. I don't know if you follow Jill Stanek, who writes on pro-life issues at her blog. And, she had a recent post where, she talked about how live action has surpassed Planned Parenthood in a number of likes on Facebook, where live action is over close to 210,000 in Planned Parenthood. This billion-dollar abortion industry conglomerate, has less than that,
wow,
about 202,000. So what it's telling us is that, the fact that the new media, and we also have to remember that places like Facebook, one of the largest growing populations on Facebook is actually in their 40s. So it's not the tweens and the teens and the coming of age when people sign up when they're 13 to join Facebook, but it's a broader range. So what John Paul and what he's doing with students, it actually translates with pro-life groups can do in other media, including Facebook and traditional media, whether it be the Springfield newspapers, the Chicago Tribune, the Chicago Sun-Times, et cetera.
Wow. So, but what do we, I guess, so we can use this new media, and that's probably what we should be doing, and to capitalize on that. I just signed up for Twitter, and so I'm, following Jill Stanek and, some other interesting folks. And then I've got people following me who are following me because they think I'm a hater, because I'm following people like Jill Stanek and Lila Rose, live action, so it's really interesting. I don't know if John Paul, we still have you on the phone over there, right?
Oh yeah.
When you are you using Facebook? Are you using Twitter and all that?
Yes, of course. We actually back in the day with Facebook, which means like before high school kids were allowed to join and before adults were allowed to join.
What?
It was only
was
college
it?
Students.
Oh.
College, I don't know if anybody remembers that.
Yes.
But that's when I joined Facebook, and that's when I started promoting the pro-life message through Facebook. And so, yeah, definitely. Facebook is... the population of Facebook would be the third largest country in the world if it were a country.
Right.
Oh my goodness!
It is,
and Mark,
there are more
going
people
back
on
yeah,
Facebook
Tom?
Than
oh.
there are people who, United States residents.
Oh my goodness! So, now, Tom, you were saying something.
Well, you mentioned something earlier that I'm sure one of the things that John Paul has seen is a lot. It's about the message,
mm-hmm.
because I'm one of those analog digital babies. Okay, tail end of the baby boomers, but certainly have to live and work in a Facebook, Twitter, social media environment. And if there's one thing that bridges all of that, regardless of age or culture or technology, is really the message. And one of the things that is great about Facebook or organizations that have websites are analytics. And when you have mm-hmm. your message, you can actually see which messages are resonating. And you said something interesting. You talked about when you joined Twitter. And all of a sudden, it's like, these, raging pro-life, anti-whatever groups,
yeah.
and, we're considered haters. That's really the core of the message that I hope to talk about, at Speak Out Illinois next year. And that's really, you have to get your message. We know, because we're followers of Jesus, that we have a righteous message. However, we don't want to have a self-righteous message. And what I have seen with many conservative pro-lifers in all Christian communities, regardless of denomination, is that sometimes they kind of tip into that, well, you got that secular, mainstream, liberal, anti-Christian media, they're kind of out to get us, okay? Would I say that, you know, that's not true. While we might feel that the media isn't giving us as much attention, when you have a good message, the message breaks through. You know, in the last year or so, the New York Times ran a very important story about graphic images being a powerful tool in the pro-life movement to show people the truth of abortion. Just in the last year or so, Karina, who was working at the Pro-Life Action League, was on the cover of Red Eye talking about how a young woman is involved in the pro-life movement compared to her, quote, young liberal friends, so to speak. You know, a cover story. I have seen other, you know, I've seen organizations that deal with all kinds of things that we would consider that the mainstream media wouldn't cover to be covered in things like the Chicago Tribune. Just in the last 6 months, the Chicago Tribune did a huge cover story exposing the abortion clinics in Illinois for the filth and the garbage and the trash that is in many of these facilities that are unsafe medical facilities for women. And that was written in such a way that I think anyone in the pro-life movement would applaud and probably could not have done any better. So the power of the message is still at the core of whether it's Facebook, the Chicago Tribune, the Wall Street Journal, or CNN.
Wow, amen. and see, the thing is I think when I got involved in pro-life and I kind of had a conversion experience, or, you know, sometimes we call it reversion, as, you know, in the Catholic faith, is coming back to the faith, I was, I think, more on that righteous side, like, oh, you know, you got to be this, you know, you got to think this way, and if you don't, you're going to go to, you know, whatever. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And if you look at in the Gospels, you know, you see Jesus meeting a lot of people where they're at, you know, and walking with them through to make a good decision, right?
That's a very good point. You know, you think of Jesus with the woman at the well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's a woman who was married several times, and the guy she was with currently, she wasn't married.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was, and actually in the culture, it was really wrong for a man to be seen alone with a woman. You know, all the women were going to get the water in the tradition of, you know, of how they would work in that culture to bring back to their homes from the well. And, you know, Jesus never judged her. You know, he just met her where she was at in an everyday activity of getting water, and gave her the good news of who he was and why he came, you know, for her, you know, for her salvation. And I think when in the pro-life movement, we have that same opportunity. You know, we are meeting people in the marketplace, you know, whether it's, you know, in downtown Chicago, whether it's outside an abortion clinic, whether it's in your office. And it's not about, you know, the self-righteous attitude of, you know, saying, well, because you believe in this, you're going to hell. I mean, we all know without Jesus, all of us would be going to hell. So we're all in the same boat, so to speak, without Christ. Yet, we can, you know, work to bridge the gap. And sometimes I like to put this in the message is, you know, there's probably three groups. You know, there's the believers, so to speak, you know, the people who would be the, you know, the Jill Stanics of this world, et cetera, who would just say, hey, you know, we're going to talk about this as, you know, following Jesus' example of, what, you know, knowing that life does begin at conception. You're going to have the atheists, so to speak, in the pro-life or in the abortion debate, which you're going to say, well, you know, you're never going to, you know, you may never change their mind. But, you know, you got those agnostics in the middle. Well, I don't know. What about rape? What about incest?
Mm-hmm.
What happens if you can't afford it? You know, those are the ones, and that's a big group. You know, those are the ones that I think we have, you know, not that I hope we don't get the hard cases, you know.
Yeah.
But those are the ones that you can certainly start at, and just ask them why they do that. Because one of the things about sharing is no one likes to be told what they should think. And if you think about the Socratic method of asking questions and saying, well, why do you think that? Why do you feel that way? You know, that's the kind of message that we want to do in publicity. So when I'm dealing with the mainstream media with a pro-life message, it's not about, you know, we're right and they're wrong. Let me just present to you the facts of what's going on here. And I have to tell you, a good journalist will always want to get a good story, because that's their job, is to get a good story. And if you can present that to them, you know, I worked with someone in a St. Louis newspaper, a very, you know, liberal, what we call left-leaning columnist. But yet, when I talked to him about Catholic Charities and whether he agreed with the Catholic faith and the principles and the morals of the Catholic faith, he says, you know what, Catholic Charities is one of the best organizations that supports families and children in the state of Illinois. And to hear that from, quote, someone in the opposition, because he knew the truth, that it was an organization, and that's what we're trying to get to with our messages.
I actually have a quick Facebook question. You kind of answered it already, but what should be our posture when we see a comment that we don't agree with? You know, we have all the friends from different sides and here and there. People are liking it, you know, pressing the like button, all that stuff.
Right.
What should our posture be? What should we comment? Should we say, hey, you know, that's completely wrong? What should our posture be?
Well, there's two ways to look at that. You know, one is, you can certainly, if the person is being civil, you can certainly have a public dialogue, knowing that other people are going to be following that, you know, that stream or that
right.
thread of conversation. Two, if the person is like, oh my gosh, you know, just, you know, foaming at the mouth. Well, besides, you know, perhaps deleting it off the, you know, the comment, whether it's a Facebook or blog or whatever, you know, you might want to go offline and try to deal with it. You know, I think it's really going to be on a case by case basis. But if you have a good dialogue going, quite frankly, people love discussions and open discussions.
Mm-hmm.
So I would encourage that, again, assuming it's civil and assuming that people, you know, and the other thing is we have to be willing to listen. If you want to be heard, the first thing you have to do is listen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so even whether I'm dealing with the media or whether I'm dealing with an individual, you know, I first want to, you know, I'm walking down the street and, you know, who knows who's trying to, you know, whether it's Jehovah's Witnesses or Buddhists, I don't know, somebody, you know, they're out there, quote, doing their evangelizing. You know, and if I come up to them saying, you know, you're wrong and you're going to hell, well, I'm not going to get real far with them.
Yeah.
But when I listen to what they have to say, I may not fully understand their religion, but I can quickly tell them, well, I understand you have to do all these things to get to God. Can I tell you about what I believe? And mm-hmm. 9 times out of 10, I will have an opportunity to share the gospel with them. So when we're dealing with the media, with public relations, you know, getting your message out, if the pro-lifer who calls up the local TV station and says, hey, we're going to have a protest at an abortion clinic, you ought to come out and cover the fact that we're going to talk about the scum in the abortion clinic, you're probably not going to get real far. If you're talking about, you know, we had a situation in Iowa where Cecile Richards, you know, the head of Planned Parenthood, was going there for a fundraising event. Now, The pro-lifers in Iowa said, oh, they never give us any coverage, they never talk to us, they never give us a fair shake. Well, the way that it was handled as far as the PR, the idea came up that, well, why don't we have a baby shower outside of this Planned Parenthood event? And you're going to have the biggest baby shower in Iowa to celebrate the women who have kept their children and who need the support.
That's
and
great.
People brought gifts. And if you watch the news from 6 o'clock where they showed the conflict between Planned Parenthood and the pro-life activists, by the time you got to the 10 o'clock news, it was almost all about the good that the pro-life activists were doing in the,
oh, nice.
In the company. So you can change hearts and minds even in that short period of time, even in the traditional media.
Wonderful. Well, we're going to head to a quick break, and when we return, we'll talk more with our roundtable of pro-lifers. And so stay tuned to more Life Talk.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the 3 R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is by Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization. And you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities.
No matter how busy you are, stay connected to your church by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
Go to CatholicNewWorld.com to view our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and to subscribe. Or call 312-534-7777.
Subscribe now, and a portion of your fee will go to the Archdiocesan school of your choice. It's your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Welcome back to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen, and we were discussing messaging with in terms of the pro-life message with Tom Siselka of TCPR, and we also have John Paul Deddins on the line, and Ray Pingoy and Peter Breen in studio. And if you have just tuned in, and we've been talking about the pro-life issues that we're dealing with, mainly abortion, but how to message what we believe and how to reach people. Now, John Paul, what are you going to talk about at Speak Out? What's kind of the? I know you said I haven't written my speech yet, but you've got plenty of time.
You're not supposed to tell people that, Margie.
No, but you've got plenty of time. We've got two months. Yeah. You know.
Well, before I answer that, I want to go back to one thing that Ray asked about with the Facebook comments. If there's, you know, I think Tom did a great job of answering that. But one thing that I've learned from working with college students is that often there are a lot more pro-lifers listening to a conversation than they are
that are keeping silent, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, like, I've had a lot of students come to me, you know, text me or message me on Facebook and say, "Help, there's this big discussion about abortion on my wall on Facebook, and I don't have, you know, I'm outnumbered." Well, I know that these students have a lot more pro-life friends. Mm-hmm. They're just not speaking up. The same thing happens in a classroom setting. You know, the professor is giving the pro-choice, the pro-abortion side, and the pro-lifers look around and see nobody else speaking up, so they don't speak up either, because they feel like they're the only one. But usually that's actually a perception, and it's not really a fact. And so one way to deal with that, if you see that happening on somebody else's wall, even if, you know, you don't want to get into the discussion and the debate, even if you just write on the wall, "I agree with Joe," smiley face, you know, that gives more social proof that Joe isn't a crazy pro-lifer, and that, you know, he's a normal guy who's speaking rationally. He's not, like, marginalized and wrong in terms of a social sense. So that's another way to approach that. And that's something I will probably be talking about in my talk at Speak Out, in terms of kind of how college students react. It appears to me that there's a big divide on college campuses between perception and reality. And so if you look at the polls, which, you know, they're not always that accurate, but I think they're pretty good. There have been a lot of polls that have come out that say graduating high school seniors are, by a pretty large majority, like 60-80%, pro-life. But then, you know, and a majority of those people do go to college. But then, looking at the experience of pro-life students I work with in, like, a freshman lecture hall, they all say, well, they're probably like 10% or 3% pro-life people in my class. There's a big disconnect there, and I think it's because of that same fact, that people are not confident enough to speak out and support each other. And I think, you know, once once people do speak out and support each other, you know, don't be afraid of being wrong or whatever. Even just like, just do it with a smile. And if you get something wrong, go research it and come back with the facts. But really showing that strength in numbers, I think, is a very powerful thing, especially on a college campus where it's kind of a closed community, where it can be very easily to get that perception mixed up.
Well, Ray is you know, our youth outreach coordinator, and he's in charge of our well, the youth trip for the March for Life pilgrimage, or pilgrimage to the March for Life in Washington, D.C. I always mix it up because it's, you know, the March for Life is in D.C. and it's a pilgrimage to it, you know.
It's not on March. It's on January 20th. And so we're actually, yeah, I want to just plug this in. We're going to leave on Jan 20, and that's a Tuesday. I mean, a Friday. And we're going to come back on a Tuesday, January 24th. So I just wanted to get that out there. If it's not too late yet to register, and I think it is a great jumping point, really, to talk about or to place on your Facebook, walls, or talk about it with your friends as well. That you are, you know, you're standing up for life. You're gonna be there. So let everyone know that you are going, and let everyone know that if you can't go, then you wish you could be there, and pray for us, because we're gonna take about 10 busloads of youth and young adults and everyone else that wants to join in March for Life.
And then they can go to our website, right, at respectlifechicago.org.
Right.
And all the forms are on there. All the information is on there.
Yeah. Again, it's not too late. So I know the due date was last Friday, but it's not too late. Call our office or visit our website and download those forms.
Yeah, and Tom, you know, and John Paul, you know, looking at the March for Life itself, at least on our trip and my experience with bringing youth and adults, finding that a lot of people are going because of other reasons. You know, maybe a guy is going because a girl, or a girl because a guy, you know, and then they're not really fervently pro-life, but then when they come back, it's one of those things, like, they get up and they tell their story, and they say, you know, I was coming because of this, but now I know I have to come back and I have to do more, you know. So it's an experience that where we're not just like, we're not pounding them over the head, but we're showing them. We're taking them by the hand, or, you know, whatever, but we're journeying with them on this pilgrimage.
Yeah, and they're not alone, you know.
Yeah. And we make it fun. So, I mean, I think that's the key. So now, Tom, what's your key, I guess, your theme for your presentation going to be?
Well, the main thing is I really want to equip the pro-life organizations with media relation tactics that are readily available. You don't have to spend a lot of money or hire a lot of professional services to help them get the word out to supporters and, you know, the skeptics or the agnostics, you know, through various, you know, media channels, and to help them. How do you do that? You know, mm-hmm. if you are going to call this TV station and try to get them to cover your event, you know, what do you say? And one of the key things, you know, there's just some real simple things I'm going to focus on is, you know, knowing your audience. You know, if you're talking to the Catholic New World versus the Chicago Tribune, those are two different, you know, audiences.
Mm-hmm.
Get to the point. You know, I'm going to talk to about how you really start with a, you know, powerful headline. You know, we've been talking about Twitter. You know, you don't have time to go into paragraphs and journal articles. You got to get it in 140 characters. Same thing when you're making your pitch. And then the other thing is to, you know, people like to hear a story. You know, I always tell people when you're giving a story, you may not say this explicitly, but I want to show them there are three parts to every story, typically. There's the villain, there's the victim, and there's the vindicator. And if we had to quickly look at the pro-life advocates, obviously the villain is, let's say, an abortion clinic. The victim is the mother and the child involved in going to the clinic. And the vindicator is not necessarily the, you know, a self-righteous pro-lifer, but it's really what's behind them, you know, the power of Christ that stands with them.
Mm-hmm.
That, and again, that may not play as well, you know, in a secular media, but it really has to do with, in that audience, we would talk about the facts of the psychological, the physical, the damages, you know, to individuals that are just the facts of, you know, women who've had, you know, abortion, how it affects both them and the father.
Yeah. So, Tom, actually, this is great stuff. We should probably, you know, we need another hour to talk about this because we're out of time for this December edition of Life Talk.
Yeah.
But thank you for joining us, Tom, John, Paul, Ray, Peter. But remember to tune in on the first Wednesday of every month from 9 to 10 a.m. on AM 950 or 930 Relevant Radio. For Ray Pingoy and Peter Breen, this is Margie Breen. May God bless you with a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.